I'm so privileged to be here this morning. I love to come here. It's a time of refreshing for me, and I feel reinvigorated. I love your church, and I'm so thankful for each one of you. If you take your Bibles, I want to take you to scripture that I was in last week at our church, and a thought that came to me then. It's Daniel chapter 1, book of Daniel chapter 1. You know how Daniel was carried away captive in Jeremiah chapter 24. You read about this time when Daniel is carried away captive. But in Daniel chapter 1, Daniel's already in the land, and he's already gone through some terrible things, some horrible things for a young Jewish lad. And he has now been found to be of the nobility of Judah. He's from the tribe of Judah, and he has now come into this land, and he has been placed in the school where he will be trained to serve for the king. And as he comes to this place, and they offer him the best of everything, we pick up the reading in verse 8. He's just been offered all this wonderful food and drink of the king. But in verse 8 of chapter 1, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your faces worse looking than the children which are of your sort? Then you shall make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, who the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, better known to us as Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat the portion of the king's meat, as he sees, deal with thy servants. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will open this word to us and speak to us something, Lord God, that will help us today. Help us to live the life that you've called us to live, and help us, Lord, to be able to deal with the things that happen in our lives. We ask that, Lord, in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. I was thinking the other day of how we have to every now and then change our point of view, or we change our perspective. Many years ago, I saw Meckley do some painting, Evangelist Meckley. Some of you would remember him. And I thought, that looks like fun. I'd like to try it. And so I said to my wife, would you go and get me paints for Christmas? And she said yes, so I went to town and bought the paints that I wanted and the brushes that I wanted, came home, gave them to her to give to me for Christmas, so I'd get the ones I wanted. And I began to paint. Now, I wish that all of those early paintings would have self-destructed by this time, because they were really, really bad. I had shadows going every direction. Everything had its own peculiar shadow going in every direction that it chose to go. I had trees that were literally stumps that had balls of green on top of them. And I had a mother-in-law who looked up and said, oh, Dick, you've got talent. That's beautiful. And so she encouraged me to go on and keep painting, and I began to do it more and more. And then as an evangelist traveling, I would paint a picture in every service and would give them away at the end of the week to the one who brought the most would get first choice, and second most would get second choice until they were all gone. And then I would paint a picture for anybody for $10 for missions. And so oftentimes on Monday morning before I could leave, I would have 10 or 15 paintings that I would have to do. I learned to slap paint pretty fast, because I wanted to get out of there. I wish all of those would self-destruct today and totally disappear. But I began to work more and more with painting, and I discovered that I saw things that I had never seen before. I began to realize that in the spring you have the same colors that you have in the fall. They're just more subdued. You look at the trees that in the fall are going to be flaming colors, and those colors are there. I never knew that before. I thought tree stumps were all brown or black. I didn't realize that they had grays and browns and colors in them. I began to see differently. My perspective began to change. And I began to realize that to really get a proper perspective, you had to start way at the back. And I would paint the sky first. And I'd paint all the way to the bottom of the page so everything was sky. And then I would put a line across and everything below it was water and everything above it was sky. And that's the way I began to understand perspective. And then I'd put the mountains in and then I would put the little hills in and I would bring the picture forward as I came. And when I would get to the front of the picture, then the waterfalls would go in or whatever it was that I was going to paint. I remember Grandma Moses. Some of you might remember some of her paintings. She was a very world-famous artist. She had no sense of perspective at all. She would have things totally out of perspective with her picture, but it was American folk art, and everybody loved it. And if I could get paid what she got paid for her paintings, I could get out of perspective too, because she became very wealthy with her paintings. But what I want us to look at today is that there are times that we're painting the picture, or God is painting the picture of our life, and we know where it's going. We can see where it's going, and we can begin to fill it out and to make it come to life. And we have it in our minds exactly what our picture of our life is going to look like. And then all of a sudden, God moves us to a totally different point of view. We're now over here looking at our picture and suddenly realize that everything is out of kilter. How am I going to do it? And I can't keep painting the picture I was painting because I am now at a different point. This is what happened to Daniel. Daniel is a young boy growing up a part of the noble families. He is a prince of Judah, and he has been now looking at his life, knowing where it's going. He's going to get married. He's going to rise in the area of business. He's probably going to be in the area of ruling the tribes. He's got his life pretty well laid out and planned, and then all of a sudden, Nebuchadnezzar comes in, carries him away to Babylon. Now, as he's on his way to Babylon, there's a psalm that speaks about it, where the psalmist says, they required of us a song. How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And they take their harps and they hang them on the willow tree. They've lost their song. What's happened is everything that they planned, everything they knew was going to happen, has been blown out of the waters. Nothing is the same. Everything is different. And hopelessness sets in. Have you ever been in that situation where your life changed so drastically that all of a sudden all your plans are blown out the window? And you think, God, you failed me. I knew where you were taking me. I knew what you were going to do with my life. And now all of a sudden I'm in this area and I can't even see the painting that I've made. I can't even see what it's like. I don't know how to go on from here. Well, let me remind you. You are not really the artist. He is. And he's painting a picture of your life that is going to be, in the end, beautiful. But can I tell you, you cannot have a beautiful painting with just bright colors. You have to have some darks in it. There have to be some shadows in it. There has to be some of those dull colors in it in order for the painting of your life to actually come into to become something very beautiful. Look at Daniel now. He's there, a captive. He's a slave. He was a prince. He's a slave. And as a slave in the land, he finds himself having been dragged away from his home, and now the most horrible thing that he can possibly imagine happening to him. He could not have imagined anything like this had he thought about it and thought, what is the worst thing that could happen to me? He cannot imagine it. He is suddenly made into a eunuch. Loses his manhood. He will never have children. He will never have a wife. He will never have the life that he wanted. He'll never have a posterity to follow after him. His life is now ended. There's nothing left. What can he possibly do? His life is over with. And God says, Daniel, will you trust me? Will you trust me? Why not just give up? Why not enjoy the pleasures of sin? The best food, the best wine being offered by the king. Going to have a place of political power in my life. Why not just go along with it all? But Daniel says, no. My point of view has changed. But my position on God has not. Are you with me? Our point of view can change. But if we change our view of God, we'll lose. Daniel says, if I was back home, I would not eat pork. I would not eat food offered to an idol. I would not drink wine offered to an idol. And so he says to the prince of the eunuchs, I'm a Jewish young man. I'm a Hebrew. I'm a Hebrew. We don't eat this kind of thing. And we don't eat food that's been offered to an idol. I just ask you, just give us vegetables to eat. I'll eat bean soup, okay? And the prince of the eunuch says, wait a minute. Why should I endanger my... I love you, Daniel. You're a great kid. You're like a kid brother to me. I really would like to help you, but if the king comes along at the end of this college that we're giving you, and he looks at you, and he looks at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and you guys look puny and miserable, and these guys look great, he'll cut my head off. I can't give him that kind of excuse. So he goes to Melzar, the steward, and he says to him, 10 days. Give us 10 days. Just feed me on vegetables. That's all I want for 10 days. And then look at us and see who looks the best. You know, all these guys are teenagers. They all got pimples. Did you ever know a teenager who didn't? Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have a great complexion. They look good. And so they took away all that was offered to idol, and they gave to Daniel and to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego this, that. Now, let me just say this. You see, when we are in a situation where everything is changed, our whole plan has been blown out the window. We have a choice. We can be a victim or a victor. We can say, I give up. Or we can turn and say, God, I don't know what you're doing, but will you do something special with my life? Because right now it looks like there's nothing. But God, I know you, and I know that all things work together for good to them who are called according to your purpose. And your purpose, Lord, is to make me like Christ. And Lord, if I have to go through this, if I have to suffer this, then Lord God, you must have a plan. I trust you. I trust you. There are times when it's hard to trust folks. We have a young family in our church that just lost their young teenage son. In fact, we have two families that lost their young sons. It just took the wind out of their sails. I can only imagine what they must feel like. But as I was preaching this last Sunday, I was watching both of them. Can I tell you? Tom's face shone like the face of an angel. And he's shaking his head. Yes, yes, Pastor, yes. Having lost his son just months ago. He said, yes, God is still faithful. God is still in charge. And his face is shining like the face of an angel. You see, sometimes when God moves us from the painting that we're painting or he's painting of our life, we think it's all lost. It's all going to be black from here on. Just cover the painting with black. It's all done. And God says, no, there's some black there, but that's to show the highlights of what I'm going to bring out in your life. Because I've got something beautiful planned for you. Can we trust him? Did you ever stop to ask yourself the question why so many of the old hymns were hymns like, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Trust and obey. Hymns that speak about, it is well with my soul when everything has gone wrong. Songs like the one we sang, O Lord my God, how great thou art. God's greatness does not change because our circumstances change. God's love does not change because our circumstances change. God's power does not change because our circumstances change. And all things still work together for good to them who love God and are called according to his purpose. And his purpose, it's simple. To bring out in us the beauty of Christ. So that when all is said and done, we look back and say, wow, it's been a great life. One night, my wife Dorothy was dying. She was in the hospital. My dad came down from New York because he loved Dorothy so much. And I really didn't need dad there right then. That meant I had two people to take care of. I had Dorothy in the hospital, my dad at home, who needed some attention. And I finally got him settled and started for the hospital. And I thought, I just got to have a break of something. And so I stopped at the Klein's. They had a party going on there. And I didn't want a party. I just wanted to change. And so I stepped in there for a little bit and just talked with them and let them minister to me. And I stepped out, and over my car was these lights flashing. You've seen these big circus lights, you know, that flash through the sky, but they were over my car. And I looked at it and I heard this from the Lord. I have given my angels charge. Those are flaming angel swords. I said, Lord, I like it. I got in the car, I started to drive, and I'm going up the road, and I'm coming up to Route 68. And as it's coming up, I look out the window and those lights are still flashing over my car. And I said, Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it. I like it. And I got to the hospital, and the lights were flashing over Dorothy's room there at the hospital. And I went in, and she said to me, the Lord has just spoken to me. She said, I was just so needing a word from the Lord. And she said, I told the Lord, she said, Lord, I don't usually get my leading this way. She had brain cancer and bone cancer and all those horrible things. And she said, God, I don't get my leading this way, but I'm just going to open my Bible and put my finger on a verse. She said, Lord, it's so dark. It's just so dark. And she says, please speak to me. And she put her finger on a verse. It was from 1 Kings, I believe, chapter 8. It said, I am he that dwells in the thick darkness. I have prepared for you a home, a settled place where you will be with me forever. She said, the Lord has just told me he's taking me home. I got in the car and went home, and the lights were still there, but they were no longer personal. They were just flashing over Butler, just big circus lights. You say, well, that's all they were to begin with. I don't know. All I know is this: God made them personal to me when I needed it. And God showed me that even in the darkness, he dwells in the thick darkness. There's never a place, there's never a time when we're outside of his care. When everything is going wrong and we don't know which way to turn, look up. He's there. He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You will never have an emergency, but what I will be there with the answer. And I can testify to you this. I'm like David. I once was young, I'm now old. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I can tell you this, I've had a good life. It hasn't all been hip hip hooray. There's been times when I went through depression and didn't know which way to turn. There's times when pain was so real. But I look back on it now and I say, God, you have been so marvelously good to me. You've been so marvelously good. The painting you painted wasn't what I expected. And it's not a masterpiece to anybody else. But I look at it and I can see how you brought color and joy into my life. How you brought peace and God's goodness. Just before Dorothy died, she said to me, I have something I want to say to you. We read each other's minds. I knew what she was going to say. I said, you don't have to say it. She said, yes, I do. And she started to cry. I said, it's all right. You don't have to say it. She said, yes, I do. She said, I don't mind dying. I know I'm going to be with Jesus. But she said, I don't want to leave you. And she started to cry. I said, you don't have to say it. She said, yes, I do. She said, I want you to marry again. I want you to marry again. And I've prayed that God will bless your ministry. And God gave me Becky. And he gave us Ethan. You see, even in the pain, God had a plan. Even in the sorrow, God had a plan. Even in the darkness, God had a plan. He was painting a picture. There have been times when I was painting every night in service. I'd paint all the board white, and I'd look at it, and the whole congregation sitting there, and I'd say, Lord, I haven't the foggiest idea where to go. I don't know what to do. And the Lord said, just put paint on the board. And I'd take the brush up, and I'd make a stroke, and he'd take over and help me through it. I don't say he painted the pictures because they weren't that good. But he gave me the help I needed so that I could do the best I could. So I say to you today, maybe we need a change of our point of view. Instead of saying, God, I don't know why, we say, God, why? It's not wrong to ask God why. Are you with me? It's not wrong to ask God why. What is wrong is where we challenge him with, you failed me. Even that he can handle. Because he says, just trust me. Just trust me. You've heard the story of the man that's standing on the edge of this cliff, and he suddenly, the ground gives way, drops over the edge, reaches up and grabs a limb of a little bush that's hanging out there. And he cries out, help, help. Help, help. And a voice comes. This is God. Just let go. Is there anybody else up there? You see, it's hard to just let go, isn't it? And trust. But if we let go and trust, he will not fail you. He will not fail you. He will not fail you. He is faithful. And he has the plan. I don't. And his plan is better than any plan I ever could have come up with. Would you stand with me, please? With our heads bowed, our eyes closed, and just alone with the Lord right now, is there anyone that would say, Pastor, I need prayer today. I need prayer because I know that he's doing something I don't understand, and I need prayer to trust him more. May I see your hands? Yes. Yes. I need to be able to trust him more. Thank you. Father, we need to trust you more. We need to trust you more. Lord, because you have the plan. You have the plan. It's a good plan. But we don't see all of it because sometimes we're in the dark on it. And we can't imagine that there's anything beautiful or light coming. But Lord, you've promised, I'm making something beautiful of your life. I'm making something beautiful of your life. Trust me. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you. God bless.